He's in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee. It is, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, we begin here then in verses 1 through 10, and we see the great compassion and mercy of the Lord here. Again, the Lord says, okay, now I've told you all this. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to sin, and you're going to be cast out. Well, that's not very good news. And yet, that's exactly what the Lord tells them. But then what does he say? But when you return, and when you repent, and when you call upon my name, and when you ask my mercy, and when you confess your sins, then I will gather you wherever I've scattered you. And I will bring you back into the good land, the land that your fathers lived in. And you will possess it. What is he doing here? Well, if we compare chapter 30 all the way back to chapter 16, we'll find that these are the two promises, the two great promises that God made for, well, a couple of different things. The first one had to do, this is that trunk of the Mosaic covenant that through time rises up into two great branches. And those of you who've been to our lectures on Wednesday night, you know what we're talking about. So there's a trunk at the base, the Mosaic covenant, and this rises up into two great branches, two great covenants that the Lord makes in time, still part of the Mosaic covenant, and yet branching out from it. And that is the covenant that God made with David and the Davidic covenant, the monarchy that would come, and it would exist side by side, or actually inside Moses, and the Sinaitic or Sinaitic covenant. And then also the covenant that God made with the children of Israel at the days of the restoration. And this is what is spoken of here in chapter 30, the days of the restoration. And so after they were taken into captivity, after they were spread throughout the whole wide world, what did the Lord do? He brought them again. And they came back. Cyrus, the Persian king, actually gave commandment to build the temple of the Lord. Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, Zechariah, and other prophets, they showed up in Jerusalem. And what did they do? Well, Nehemiah with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. What did they do? They put the people on the wall. They rebuilt the walls. Under Haggai, in the days of Haggai, they begun to rebuild the temple. And they rebuilt. And the Lord says, how many of you saw this temple in the days of its former glory, and does not this temple now seem to you as nothing? Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Rise up and build, for I will bless it, says the Lord. And so this is the promise that is made here in the first portion in Deuteronomy chapter 30. As all the way back here in, 14-something B.C. here with Moses, prophesying of days about 900 years hence, when the children of Israel will come back into the land and they will build once again because the Lord will draw them back. In fact, He will raise up a heathen king to send them back. It's amazing, isn't it? What a blessing. Okay, so we have that. And that's the first portion. It is according to the Lord's mercy. And as we have been going along here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, we've been pointing out those tenets of the covenant of grace, haven't we? Well, here is one of them. The Lord says, you repent and I'll bring you back. A covenant of works requires what? There is no repentance in a covenant of works. Once you have failed, death comes next. The death stroke comes right after your failure. And so this is obviously a gracious thing that the Lord is doing here. All right, so then we come to this really interesting passage here. Someone told me last week, Pastor, I don't think you've ever come across a Bible passage that you don't think is interesting. Well, maybe that's true. At least I hope it is. And just understand that when I don't say it's interesting, doesn't mean I don't think it's interesting. Okay? All right, so here we have this wonderfully interesting passage in 11 through 14. And what does Moses say here? This commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh thee. Nigh unto thee, for it is in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Anybody remember where this is spoken anywhere else in the Bible? How about Romans chapter 10? And what is the discussion in Romans chapter 10? Where does this passage that Paul quotes in Romans chapter 10, where does it fit into his discussion? It fits into his discussion of the Hebrews of his day, who had turned away from the gospel of grace that was preached in Moses, and instead they had turned it into a merit system, a works righteousness system. And so Paul begins that chapter in Romans 10 by saying something like this, roughly paraphrased, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, rather they have sought to establish their own righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them which believe. And so They went about to establish their own righteousness. Now Paul goes on to talk about the righteousness of faith, and he says, it's the word of faith that we preach. That's the word of righteousness. It's the word of faith. In other words, that there is righteousness imputed by faith alone. Now, he's telling the Jews who would care to read Romans chapter 10, you've heard this before, because Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, who's going to bring this righteousness to us? Shall somebody have to go up and bring it down? Shall we have to go over the sea to get it? No, it's in your heart and it's upon your lips. And then Paul finishes it in a New Testament context when he says, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice mouth and heart. Exactly what Moses says here. And so what Paul is doing is Paul is bringing this passage in Deuteronomy 11 through 14. He's bringing it into this gospel context because that's how it was originally written. That's what all this talk is in this passage about having a circumcised heart and the heart of thy seed will be circumcised so that thou mayest love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. What is Moses doing here in offering the blessing and the cursing? He is preaching the gospel. That's why Paul brings this into Romans 10. So this very passage is brought into Romans 10 because it is a gospel preaching passage. It teaches the righteousness of faith. So that's 11 through 14. And then in 15 through the end, well, he puts the punctuation mark, the exclamation point on it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, keep his commandments and his statutes and judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. And then he talks about the converse of that, if you turn away. But my dear brothers and sisters, I hope you're hearing in this that this is not a legal threatening. This is a gospel threatening. This is the kind of threatening that we have in the New Testament. It is the kind of promise and blessing that we have in the New Testament. As we quoted from Ephesians 6 this morning, let's remember those words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Is there a promise annexed to that? There is. Is it that somehow Paul has lost his mind and has gone back to teaching the covenant of works? No, that's a gospel promise. And what about what did we read in Hebrews chapter 4 earlier in our sermon last hour? What did we read? We read of several gospel threatenings, did we not? Just because there's a promise of blessing and just because there's a threatening doesn't mean we've gone off the gospel rails and now have descended into some kind of covenant of works. And so what Moses is doing here is he's preaching the gospel to them. He's telling them about the grace of God who will change their hearts, circumcise their hearts, and cause them to love the Lord thy God with all their hearts and with all their souls. And is that not exactly the gospel that we preach? Well, it's clearer today. It's got more glory. It's got more revelation. It's got more light to it. But it is the same gospel that we preach. All right, thus ends the reading of Deuteronomy chapter 30.